Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Jeremy Aaron, the campus minister at the Mustangs for Christ Student Center at Midwestern State University. Let's tune in now for Jeremy's message.
I'm thankful to get to continue a series that Ken started a few weeks ago about discipleship. And this series is geared to help us become better disciple makers, give us some principles, things that are going to help us as we look for people to disciple, and what are some steps that we can lead through. And so this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about three principles to help train us as we minister to others. I want to begin this morning by bragging on a couple people. There's a lot of people, as I look out to some of my favorite people this morning, there's a lot of people I could brag on, but I want to brag on a couple guys. And when I mention their names, you'll probably say, oh yeah, I know those guys. Elmer and Gene. Do you know those guys can fix anything? Amen. Yeah, and that's an understatement. I mean, I'll work on something, and then I'll come back later at the student center, and it just got fixed. And I know I didn't do it. I haven't seen any little elves do it, but these Elmer and Gene, somewhere along the way, somebody showed them the how of doing stuff. I mean, they just know how to fix stuff. They just have that, I want to say that gene, but then that sounds kind of, I didn't write that down, I promise. Elmer and Gene just know how to get stuff done. They are such a blessing to this church in a lot of ways that we see, and some of us as staff get to see another level of the things they do behind the scenes. And whether it's helping out at 10th and Broad or the things they do for M4C or lots of other things, they just are some of those guys that are just a blessing because they use their skills for the kingdom of God to bless us, and they just know how to get things done. It kind of reminds me of a story I heard, probably from one of those guys, but a story about a guy that was working at a factory. He was the plant manager of this huge factory, and of course, one of the machines breaks down. And this machine was so vital because the entire factory just shut down. Couldn't figure it out. He worked and worked and couldn't figure it out. He had to call one of those expert handyman, one of those guys that knows just how to get things done. And so he called this handyman in, and so the handyman shows up with a tiny little wrench. And he just walks into this factory, and he finds a little tiny pipe in the corner, and he walks up to it and just goes, taps three times and leaves. Well, the machine started up, everything started working, and it was just, the guy was just amazed. And he said, how much is that going to cost? I'll send you the bill later, don't worry about it. Well, he was worried about it. So the guy just tapped three times, and it just came back to life. Well, he gets the bill a few days later, and this is what the bill reads. $1,000 bill. Yeah, that's what I said. What? Are you kidding me? And so he read down, and it's here's the itemized list. $1 for the service call, $999 for knowing where to tap. Elmer and Gene are guys that know where to tap. Quite literally, they fix stuff at M4C by tapping on. I mean, they know that stuff. What it makes me think of today is there's some people along the way that showed us the how, that showed us how to do things, whether it's leading a ministry, whether it's something with our job. So I want to give you three principles today that I think will help us as we work with others, as if we're blessed to be in a discipling relationship. There are three principles that are going to help with training others to minister. And the first one is demonstration. And that's the how. Demonstration, if you're following along in your outline this morning, this involves setting the example. And this is really a lot to do with just showing people how. You know, Jesus spent his whole life showing others how to minister. And if you think about the timeline that the Gospels give us of the life of Jesus, we have a tiny bit of his birth, we have one story when he's 12, and then what do we know about 90%+ of what Jesus did? He walked with these guys, his apostles and his disciples, and he showed them the how of ministry. That was his whole focus here on earth, was showing these guys how, so they could show others how, and then it would repeat. That's what discipling is all about. So Jesus showed them the how. And when it comes to learning how to minister, demonstration is really what people are looking for. And I think that's true if you ask teachers in the classroom. Yes, it's nice to learn about it in the book, but don't the students a lot of times respond better when they get to actually do it themselves? They get to actually participate in the how. It's the hands-on training. It's the don't just tell me about it. Show me how to do it. Let me go along with you. Jesus connected with his disciples, allowing them to see his values and priorities lived out in everyday life. And as you think of the stories of Jesus, I put a few examples here that I'll share, but there's so many examples of him showing them how, not just telling them the importance of something, but him modeling that in his life. When he talked about his heart for others, Jesus didn't just say, I have a heart for others. He showed him what it looked like to have a heart for others. What does it look like when you minister to a family that's lost a loved one? Well, Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved Mary and Martha. But him just saying that wasn't really what stood in their mind. They remember the tears that Jesus had. They remember the pain of him waiting, and they still couldn't figure that out exactly what was going on. Jesus showed what it was like to minister to others. Think about the sorrow he expresses as he looks out over the crowd, and he says the statement about their sheep without a shepherd, and we need to pray to the Lord of harvest to send forth people to reach them. And then as he looks at Jerusalem and he weeps over the city, longing for it to be the city of God like it used to be, Jesus showed by his words and his deeds what it was like to minister to others. He talked to the woman at the well. He broke some social barriers that the disciples weren't quite ready to go there yet. He showed what it was like to minister. And then I love this one. It says in John that when Jesus wanted to show them the full extent of his love, do you remember what he did? I mean, out of all the things he could have done, Jesus, it says the statement, John says this, to show them the full extent of his love, he got down and washed their feet. The Creator washed the creation's feet. You think he had a heart for others? I mean, if God the Creator can have a heart for others, then what excuse do I have? Jesus spoke to the outcast. He touched the untouchable. He healed the broken, and he marveled at the faith of foreigners. And John tells us at the beginning of his gospel, as he kind of wraps up that first chapter, John tells us that the purpose of Jesus coming was to make the Father known. And so what does Jesus want us to know about the Father? The Father wants us to not be self-centered, but to have a focus on others. And Jesus did that in a couple of ways. He did that by explaining Scripture to them, by explaining Scripture with an authority that they just hadn't heard before. But he also did it by showing them what it was like to have a heart focused on others. He showed them what it looked like. And so they watched him, as any good student would do. They watched him, they listened, and then they began to try to emulate him. They began to be Christians, to be Christ-like. They followed him in all that he did. And it's interesting, probably one of the best examples is, do you remember when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray? We see John teaching his disciples, and we would like some instruction on how to pray. I don't know what they were expecting, but he didn't give them a book or a scroll, whatever they had. He didn't give them that. He didn't give them a long lesson or a long story about prayer. What did he do? He showed them how. He said, this is how you pray. And he demonstrated it for them. He simply prayed for them. Jesus modeled the importance of showing them how. As disciple makers who are seeking to help others follow Christ, we must model the how. It's important. And one thing I'll say, and this is my opinion, some leaders have different opinions on this, but my opinion is when you show them how, it's important to show them the successes as well as the failures. I don't want to show people my failures. I'd like for those to be forgotten, and hopefully enough time will pass, people will forget that I messed up. Not that Jesus had failures to show them, but any good leader that's human, that's us, is going to have successes, and they're going to have some things they try that don't quite work out quite as well. So demonstration is very important, but as a leader, as a disciple maker, if you're blessed in a discipling relationship, I think it's good to be transparent. It's good to be open and say, listen, I haven't got all this right. It kind of reminds them that I'm not up here and you're not down here. We're both on this journey together. It takes two of us. Be transparent with the successes you have in ministry as you care for others. And it's okay to share some of the failures. Maybe don't share all of them, but just pick a few maybe to share. It would be good. So demonstration is important. Second principle this morning that I think will help us as we try to encourage others to minister is delegation. Now, I don't know if you're like me. When I hear delegation, I don't know why, but for some reason in my mind, it kind of has a negative beginning in my mind. Oh, somebody wants me to do something that they could do themselves, but they're too lazy to do it. They're going to delegate it to me. That's not the delegation I'm talking about this morning. This delegation is bringing others along, is finding a way to include them, maybe even if you didn't have to, but finding a way to include them. We need to give them ministries to be a part of and empower others to serve. When I say empower, I'm not saying we have power to give them ministry. All of that comes from God. But has anyone ever said something to you? I see this in you. I want you to try this. Has anybody ever said something that maybe you might take that step? Maybe it was voluntold, but you weren't quite ready for it. But maybe they said something to kind of empower you, to push you a little bit to say, you know what, I can try that. I don't mind stepping out and seeing if this is a gift that I have from God. Basically, this means, with delegation, give them something to do. as I was thinking about the times in my life where maybe I first preached a sermon or first time I led worship, Wendell, I don't know what it was like for you, but first time I led worship, I had to stand on a chair at our home church because I couldn't see over the podium, and not a lot has changed since then. A few things have changed since then, but I remember the first time somebody asked me to do something, and after the knees started knocking, it got a little bit less stomach churning, but I remember one story that came to mind as I was thinking of this lesson. I remember the first time someone asked me to teach the college class at M4C. I think it was David Daniels. He was our campus director at the time, and he was going to be out of town, and so I don't know if I'm just the one that made eye contact with him or what, but he said, "Jeremy, I want you to teach the class, the college class. I'm going to be out of town." Okay. I was college age, so it was my peers, but still I'd never done anything like that before. And so I put a lot of work into it, and I was excited that weekend because my mom was going to be in town. She was visiting. And so Jenny and I think we were engaged. I don't remember the exact time, but we were engaged at that time. And so my mom was going to come listen to me. I wanted to make her proud. I didn't want to say anything too embarrassing. And so I was going to show up early that night to the college so I could get stuff ready. And I showed up about 30 minutes early. And as I pulled into the parking lot, a campus police officer, maybe overzealous, maybe not, pulled in behind me with his lights on and parked right behind me. And I thought, well, why is he parked behind me? Well, you know that little sticker in the corner? If it doesn't have the right numbers on it, like current numbers, then you get a ticket. So I had, my registration was out. You know, special college. I haven't done that since. Things you do in college that your mom forgot to remind you. So that was real embarrassing. But as I pull in, he pulls behind me, lights on. But here's the fun part. Since I was there early, my mom and Jenny pull in next. And, "Jeremy, are you okay?" "I'm fine. It's just a sticker." And then for the next 30 minutes, all of the students that pulled in came by my car. "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm teaching the lesson. I'll be in a second. So we're done." That's embarrassing. And I had already planned the lesson, and then I get inside, and everyone, ha ha, it's a funny, you have a good story to start with, at least, if you're trying to catch their attention. And here's my lesson for the night. My lesson is, why do bad things happen to good people? And I had a good example, or a bad example. I remember it was on Joseph. I don't tell that story as a success. That was kind of a failure. The lesson, I don't remember if it was good or not. But I just remember being asked. And as I look back on that, it was not funny at the time, but as I look back on that, and I'm more thankful for just the opportunity for someone to say, "Hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you lead in this way?" And it ended up being a memorable story. I've taught a lot of lessons at M4C since then, and none of them have been that awe-inspiring with lights, blue and red lights, and just, so I don't know what the times are that you've been asked to do something, what it was like if you remember back to your first time. But delegation is an important thing. Jesus was the master at using his disciples' gifts and skills to prepare them for future leadership roles. And as disciple makers, we don't only want to just encourage people to serve in ministry in Jesus' name. We also want to help supply them with opportunities and places for them to do ministry. There's a phrase in this book that some of the staff have been reading, staff and elders, called discipleship. There's a phrase that I want you to write down this morning because to me it really just caught my attention as I was reading through this book. And here's the phrase. Finding ministries for others to be a part of helps to build a kingdom purpose in them. I just love that thought. I'll say it again. Finding ministries for others to be a part of helps to build a kingdom purpose in them. If you were going to build a purpose in somebody, I can't think of a more important, a more noble, a more holy purpose than helping someone to discover their kingdom purpose. It's the fact that it's the reason that we are in ministry to begin with, helping others to discover what it's like to have a kingdom purpose, a kingdom focus. What can I do to bless the kingdom of God? In Luke chapter 10, we read an example of Jesus delegating to others. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 70. And as he does that, he gives them some instructions about take this or don't take this. And so they had been with him for a while. And this is kind of a test run. He's going to send them out. And there's some great principles in there about discipleship. But what I really want to focus on is the fact that when they come back, this is one of those successes. And when they come back, it says they're filled with joy at what they had seen, what they had experienced. But the cool thing is the very next verse, it says, and Jesus too is filled with joy in the Spirit, and he immediately prays and gives thanks to God. He is so excited. So it's interesting here that what I see is there's a blessing not only in delegating, but in being the delegator. There's something about when you provide an opportunity for someone to find their kingdom purpose, it brings you joy as as the one that's bringing them along and encouraging them and discipling them. And I think it's so cool that not only were these this group of disciples just excited about the things they saw and the miracles that they were able to perform, Jesus himself, you can just see the smile on his face. It was a win. It was a win for the kingdom. These people had found a kingdom purpose, and they were excited. Another story that's probably even more familiar to us, in John chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000. You guys remember that story? They had this crowd. There was 5,000 men plus women and children, so it was the feeding of a lot more than 5,000 probably, but we'll just stick with that number since that's how we know it. So the feeding of the 5,000, they get to the end of the night, people are getting hungry, and Jesus looks around, and I can imagine the disciples were probably trying not to make eye contact because they didn't know what he was going to ask, and he catches Philip's eye, and he says to Philip, "Where can we buy bread for all these people?" Did Jesus need Philip's help? Did Philip have much to do with the bread distribution? He didn't need Philip's help. If anybody could have done things on their own without asking for help, I'm going to pick Jesus. He probably is the one that could have taken care of it. He had the wisdom. He had the knowledge. He had the power. He had the patience. He had all of the things that you would want in a leader. But yet Jesus saw an opportunity to involve Philip and then really all of his disciples. So he asked Philip, "Where can we get bread for all these people?" But here's the interesting thing about John's account in John chapter 6. It says that Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. So it wasn't like, "Oh man, Philip, somebody throw me a bone here. Like somebody help me out." It wasn't that. He already knew what was going to happen. He already had a plan, but yet he saw an opportunity to give Philip and the others a little piece of ownership, a little delegation to them so they could have some buy-in. And when they got done and they picked up all the baskets and the disciples, don't you think they had a sense of, "We helped with this"? They didn't do much. They found a couple of fish and some bread, but they didn't do very much. But they had a sense of ownership that they had helped with this process. Jesus was not afraid to ask something of his disciples. And I think sometimes as disciple makers, we may hesitate a little bit to ask something. As a disciple maker, when we ask something, it also requires us first to be a good listener, to listen to the people that we're working with. There's a connection that needs to take place before you kind of build up that credit to ask them something. You need to listen to their thoughts and passions. It also requires us to be bold and just ask, just to do it. I wonder how many people are out there simply waiting to be asked. Whether you're here this morning or watching at home, I don't know. I wonder how many people are saying, "You know, no one's asked me." And you may be like me this morning, and the first, I don't know why, a couple negatives come before the positive. As I think about this thing about asking, the first two negatives that come to my mind are, "Oh, I don't want to ask too much. They're already probably busy. They're busy. They're going to be busy with something. I don't want to ask too much." Or, "What if they say no?" I don't know why that bothers people. People tell me no all the time. I don't know why that bothers people so much, but that's one of the ones that come to mind. What if they tell me no? That doesn't mean they hate me. They just said no. So I don't know why those two negative things, maybe they're too busy or maybe they're going to tell me no. But what if instead we thought of this? Nobody ever asked me to help. Or, "Man, I really wish that I could find a kingdom purpose for me." Maybe if we thought of those two things, we'd be more willing to ask. Maybe there's somebody out there saying, "I don't really get asked to help with anything. Or I don't really have a ministry that I'm a part of. I wonder what role do I play in the kingdom?" Jesus knew the importance of getting people involved and being intentional about looking for ways to delegate to them. He was purposeful whenever he could be about finding ways to connect them to a kingdom purpose. So we've had the two principles. We've had delegation and we've had demonstration. And the third one is a little bit different. The third one's supervision. And I will say with this one's kind of a little bit harder to grasp for me. I think this is probably the one that I struggle with the most. I kind of like the first two, but this one, it seems to me that, I don't know if I just run out of steam kind of in the process, but sometimes if you see somebody that they've been delegated something and they're doing well, it's almost kind of like, "Well, let's just leave them alone. They'll be fine." But supervision is the idea of checking in with them, debriefing with them, asking them questions. Kind of like when the 70 came back, Jesus said, "How'd it go? Tell me about it. I want to hear successes and failures." It's kind of like the idea of kind of a coaching type of thing. Jesus made his disciples accountable. So not only did he give them something to do, but he also called them to a high standard and he made them accountable. "How'd it go? Did you do it right? Is there any kind of corrections that need to happen?" So not only do we want to connect with people, get them involved with serving others, we also want to build in a follow-up plan. Like I said, you can call it supervision, you can call it coaching. I don't know what you want to what you want to call it. Now, like I said before, it's not so much I'm up here and they're down here. When we're discipling, we are both working together. But there may be some spiritual maturity you can offer them to kind of help guide them. We need to build in times to check up with them, ask questions, ask about experiences, different things they learned. And we see this in the life of Jesus. And a few examples that maybe kind of help it stand out. Jesus did this with his disciples as he either confronted negative attitudes or he even sometimes affirmed strengths as well. Think about the questions he asked them as he kind of asked the leading question, who do you guys say that I am? He kind of did some follow-up with them. Who do you guys say that I am? Or he even said to Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times as he restored Peter back. So Jesus asked these follow-up questions as he provided some supervision. And then there were times that he had to correct negative attitudes. These guys had been with him for a while, but did they always get things right? Peter and John were in a town that had kind of embarrassed them and shamed them. Should we call down fire from heaven and just destroy this town? Jesus is thinking, oh no, what am I going to say here? No, guys, let me steer you back a little bit. Do you remember the part about do unto others? Did you forget that part? So some negative attitudes had to be corrected. When they asked the question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Guys, you're missing the point. There were things that Jesus needed to correct, some things that needed to correct. But on the same instance, in the supervision also allows for us, as we are helping to make disciples, to help people find their kingdom purpose, to affirm some strengths. Don't you love it when someone says, if it's a good thing, don't you love it when someone says, I see this in you. I think that you would be great in serving God in this way. When Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus says, yes, on that rock, I'm going to build my church. Jesus affirmed things when his disciples got it right. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, you are the light of the world. There are things that he said in a supervision type of role that just filled people up, that filled them with a confidence for the kingdom. We see that Paul had the same methodology as he worked with Timothy. A great example of what it was like to show someone how to delegate to someone and then to provide some supervision. And we have a lot of supervision to Timothy in 1st and 2nd Timothy. But I want to read something to you in 2nd Timothy chapter 1, because this is what Paul says as he provides some encouragement and some strength as Timothy continues to minister in the gospel. 2nd Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, he says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Just as Paul encouraged Timothy to continue to use his gifts to minister to others, our goal as disciple makers is to do the same. And so I want you to think, whether you're in a discipling relationship, whether you think about your relationship with your children, whether you think about just whatever relationship you have to be an influence for the kingdom, I want you to think about those three principles, because I think they can really help us to be more intentional, more focused disciple makers. We need to be willing to demonstrate the how of ministry to help new disciples develop a heart for serving others. We see that so many times in the life of Jesus. We need to get over this fear of asking others to do something, asking others to be a part of something. Helping to connect them to a ministry and delegating a role can help them find a kingdom purpose. Then after a task has been given, we need to not miss the ball on doing the follow-up work. Helping to correct, helping to guide, helping to affirm strengths, things like that. Supervision is a key there. And I'll leave you with this statement as just an obvious reminder, but we can't say it enough. Jesus felt that helping others learn to minister was so important, he gave all of his time to it. And now he calls us to do the same. Let's continue in worship this morning.